Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Doug Llewellyn.
Well, thank you. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Close Up Talk Radio. This is going to be nice. We're going to talk the world of coaching today. We do that quite frequently. We talk to coaches who help people in their business careers, in their lives. You know, if you look around out there, there is a coach who supposedly can help you in almost every aspect of your life, whatever it might be. There are even grief coaches. I hadn't thought about that before, but I talked to one the other day, and it just dawned on me, you know, there really are coaches who can help you in every aspect of your life. And a grief at a specific time in life, a grief coach might be just what you need. You never know. Anyway, we are happy to welcome Ann Reed back with us. We've talked with Ann before. She's a remarkable lady. She's a dynamic personal development coach. And she is on the road. Her goal is to help her clients be happy. It's that simple. She thinks if you're happy, your whole life will change and things will get better. They won't get worse. They get better if you're in a good mood and you're happy. And it makes a lot of sense. Let me point out that before becoming a coach and a really popular speaker and a group trainer, Ann spent years rising through the ranks of the financial industry, dealing with the sale of things like securities and real estate investment products, you know, complex legal technical things. But when her daughters got to a certain age in the early 2000s, Ann decided she wanted to be more flexible, more available, and to do something that felt more like a calling for her than just work. So she took her first coach training course, and that started it for her. The rest is history, and it's a history we're going to be talking about now because it set her life off on a whole different course. She's doing something now she never thought she'd be doing earlier on, and she's really fascinating, and not only that, but she's great at it. She has a wonderful website. I'm going to give you that website because you might want to look in on it. It's Reed Coaching. Reed is R-E-I-D, coaching.com. That simple. And if you go there, you'll see a picture of Ann, and you'll see that what she wants to do is help you choose happiness. So let's find out what she can do to help all of us be happier, because, once again, if you're happy, life is going to be better. Ann Reed, good morning. Nice to welcome you back again. Ann is based, by the way, in Bedford, New York. It's a cloudy, kind of miserable, muggy day in New York, but that's all right, because Ann's happy. At least I think you are. Aren't
I'm
you happy?
Inside.
You're
yes,
inside.
I'm
that's
not
right.
Inside.
Very good.
Today,
very
that
good.
Makes me happy.
Good for you. Listen, let me ask you, this is a real interesting goal you have, and you've been coaching for a good while now. I'm just wondering, are the most of the people that come to see you, are they not happy? Are people most people who go see coaches, they're not miserable, are they? But they just aren't happy with certain aspects of their life. How about those who come to you?
People come to coaching when, as I put it, they have a pain point or a dissatisfaction area in their life. When everything's going perfectly, nobody looks for a coach. But there is something that they know isn't working. They haven't been able to fix it themselves. They feel like they need support. They need guidance. They need tools. They need an accountability partner. They just know they're not going to work through whatever is bothering them and get to the next level without somebody standing beside them. So I find that to be universal with all the people I work with. The presenting issue can be totally different. But yeah. Everybody wants to change something about themselves or about their life.
Well, let me ask you a little bit
before they initiate the call.
About your life before you became a coach. I assume you were happy. You had a great career going. It was pretty complex what you were doing. But then you decided to make a big change and get out of that and get into coaching. What made you want to become a coach? I mean, what was the inspiration? Did you go to a coach at one time and found out that it
yes,
was valuable?
Yes, I have been. Yes.
You did?
I started working with a coach Like many of us, I'd gone through the therapy route, which was appropriate for me to do at that time.
Yeah.
But I started with a coach, and then, you know, the practical quantifiable part of it was I really wanted to have a more flexible schedule and be more available for my kids as opposed to the corporate grind.
Right.
But it's a calling for me. I've always done it, whether I knew that's what I was doing or not. You know, I've always been a nudge, and I've always been supportive, and I'm always looking for a better way to do things. So it just, I mean, to me, it really wasn't a jump. It was just sort of a natural evolution.
Are you glad you made the jump?
Yes.
I'm sure.
I love that. You know, the peace, I mean, and part of what I study, or it's the scientific part of being happy, too. We'll go into that more. But my dopamine hit, because we like getting the neurotransmitters working, is really when someone I'm working with has that aha moment. And they take charge, and they own their life, and they achieve what they said they wanted, you know, no matter how big or how small. That's really where I get my satisfaction. It makes it all worth it.
I think that's great. And I know you have an ambitious goal. You want to make 1 million new people happy. I think that's great. What
yes.
What a great challenge. Yeah. I mean, God
well,
bless you. I hope
year,
you can do it.
This year, I decided to quit playing small and start embracing failure and just kind of leap off the diving board. And so I am writing a book about how to be happier in spite of your life, because bad things that are always going to be happening, but it's more how we deal with them.
Yeah.
And so my goal that I have up on my bulletin board, at least I forget it, is I want to teach or help 1 million people how to be happier in spite of their life, because there are some very definite things we can do. We can't make our worlds perfect, but we can definitely be better in them. And that's my goal.
Well, I think it's a really great goal. And I don't know if I've ever talked to anybody who had a better goal. Make 1 million people happy. How can that not be a great, great goal? But
be
let's
happier
find out now.
Anyway.
Yeah, be happy. That's good. Well, let's find
be
out
happy,
how you attempt how you can attempt to do this. When folks come to you, how do you begin? You know, it's always interesting. I think it takes a lot of nerve to pick up a phone and call a coach and say, I need some help. Maybe it doesn't, but that's just been my thought. And I've never done it, so I can't answer that. But in any event, when people do come to you, what do you do? How do you begin with them? What's the process like?
I do an initial call so that we can decide whether or not we're a good match, because I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I sometimes will tell people that I don't think they're ready for coaching. Or I obviously have friends in the coaching community, and if they're looking for something specific, I mean, I just heard what you said about grief, and I've had a lot of loss in my life, and grief is something that I have helped people with, and I can totally understand that being a specialty. But for instance, if you're coming to me about online dating, one of my peers in a training course, that is her specialty. So I will likely refer you over to her just because I think she'll get you where you want to go faster.
Right.
You know.
Right.
But then once we've decided we're going to work together, I do ask that people commit to 90 days. And whether you're looking at the principle of AA or science or what have you, it takes a while to change a habit. And whatever the presenting issue is that's bothering somebody has become a habit, whether it's being stuck in it or doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result or, you know, what have you. So once that commitment's made, I really leave it up to the person what they want to coach on. I mean, I'm still doing generalized coaching besides the happiness, but people come for diverse reasons and they need to tell me what they want. And then probably one of my biggest steps is helping them clarify what it will look like when they've attained what they said they want. Because so often people aren't very clear about that. You know, they may say, I want to lose weight, or I want to make $1 million, or, you know, whatever. And they're really not clear about how their lives will change or not change when they attain that. So we kind of break that down, and then I am a big believer when you have big goals, like helping make 1 million people happier, that you have to break it down into smaller steps. You know, I can't go out and do that tomorrow. I need to do studying. I need to work on my book. I need to work on my presentation. I need to be coaching people around it. You know, they're revamping my website, social media, what have you. You know, if I sit here and say, oh, that's what I'm going to do, but I haven't broken it down into the steps and the process, I'll never attain it. So,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's what I would do on coaching, or, you know, through the coaching. It's helping people figure out the steps that they need to take to get where they say they want to go.
Well, let me point out what you have on your website, and it's really very good. It's a great website. But you point out one of the things you're trying to help people to do is train your brain to create happiness in spite of your life. In other words, learn how to celebrate the life you have. If you can do that, that's the first step in the right direction. Isn't that right?
Yes. I mean, my foundational training really is around cognitive behavioral therapy, which is thought work. So it's what you think creates how you feel, and how you feel creates your actions, and your actions create your result. So that's really, in a nutshell, the process I use. But there's so many, you know, when someone decides they want to be happier, that can be their thought, and then we can, you know, we can go through the other steps of feeling and action and results and whatever. But when I started, I'll tell you what, I read an article. It was a study that was in one of the magazines from MIT, and it was almost 1 billion subjects were in the study. And the question, which you would think is a chicken or an egg question, but it turned out it wasn't, is does success or happiness come first? And with almost 1 million people, they discovered in the study that happiness comes first. And when someone is happier, and I would like to point out that people define it differently. I mean, for some, it can just be absence of negativity. For some, it can be content. For some, it's being joyful a certain number of hours a day. I mean, you know, each individual has their own definition. But if the person rated themselves as happy, they're much more resilient. They have better relationships. They will take bigger risk. They will achieve higher success in their job. I mean, et cetera, et cetera. And it kind of blew my mind. I mean, it was like one of those things that I sort of knew, but there is now scientific evidence to back it up. And I'm like, this is my space. This is what I want to be doing right now.
And you present that question on your website in a very interesting way when you ask, what do you think, what can you accomplish as a happier human being?
Right.
And you point out when you're living in a state of happiness, You know, things get better. Positive emotions. Science proves you're more likely to be successful, resilient, connected, and not only that, but have better health if you can make yourself
mental and physical
happier.
Health. Yes.
That's pretty amazing. I hadn't realized that, but it makes a lot of sense. So it is possible to learn to be happier. And as your coach, you say you can teach you in more than 20 ways to reach and attain the state, no matter what's going on in the external world around you. That's a pretty bold statement. Does it seem to work out for you, you know, for those who come to you?
Well, it's interesting. It does work out. But like most things in life, excuse me, it's a conscious choice every day.
Right.
I went through, and, you know, I think things happen to us that provide the lessons that we need to learn in life. So here I am talking about being happy. And I've actually had the time this summer that I was struggling to be happy, knowing all that I know. And I just had a confluence of things that had broken in my house. Everything. It's a hemorrhage of time, of money, of resources, of getting people here to fix things. I mean, I had 3 trees that fell down and caused damage. That's the start. Excuse me.
All right.
I wasn't necessarily happy when I woke up in the morning. I was kind of grumpy. And so I have the skills to pull myself back around and say, I'm not going to live here. I mean, I actually ended up with about 35 separate things we could do to make ourselves happier. And so I would consciously choose a couple of them. And it's amazing how it flips your whole day around. You know, as opposed to being resistive and grumpy and irritable and negative and whatever else, just by doing some of the things. And, you know, I have to do all of them. But, you know, I came back to neutral pretty fast. And so it was, you know, watching myself as the subject, it was kind of interesting seeing how quickly I responded when applying these various things. I mean, 2 of the big foundational ones for me are gratitude and acceptance. And then I go to things, believe it or not, chocolate works because it impacts your neurotransmitters. So, you know, I did not
go and eat a pound
of chocolate a day, but it was really nice to say if I did, I was doing it because I needed to.
Right.
But, I mean, flowers can do it. I mean, the senses, interestingly, when you know, whether it's smell or taste or touch or visual or whatever, or listening to music you love, you know, there are just a lot of things when you choose to do it consciously and enjoy it for the moment when you're doing it. You know, a lot of those little things work, but again, to go back to acceptance and gratitude, I almost think gratitude is maybe the foundation, and that's being grateful for what you have at that moment. And if you can make yourself write down 5 things that you're grateful for, your whole brain wiring changes.
That's a
very
good
thought. Such a simple thing. So simple.
You're right.
And so incredibly powerful.
Well, I can see where you would be a great coach for someone to help them, especially if they've come to you without a specific, you know, to make $1 million. Come on, you know, who can do that? How can you coach somebody to make $1 million and have it happen, you know, in 6 weeks? Not going to happen. But if they come to you and they are open to what you're asking them to do is to try and be happier, and let's see where we go from there. I can see that can make big changes in individuals' lives. Some people, I guess, who come to you are just naturally grumpy. We all run into people like that, you know, and we wish they'd be happier. Maybe it's hard to teach them to be happy. Maybe it's impossible. But I think you got a great goal. So again, let me talk to you a little bit about when people come to you. How do you focus and really drive that home? I'm going to make you happier whether you like it or not. Now, here's what we're going to do. And it happens.
Number one, I would never say that, but good try.
Sounds good to me.
I will show you ways that are proven to make you happy or make someone happier, maybe not you. I can work as accountability. I can point out which methods have the biggest impact on the majority of people. One of the things, though, everybody has to do their own work. It's easier when somebody shows you the way and has a plan and talks to you about it and celebrates your successes, but I can't do the work for you. So I think there are some people who have become either addicted to being grumpy or it's normalized because anything we live with long enough becomes normal to us, whether it's abuse or living by the ocean or, I mean, whatever. That just becomes our life. So I would take it that if someone who is grumpy came to me and asked for help, that they may be dissatisfied with being grumpy, and I'll almost guarantee you that their relationships are horrible.
Exactly.
Because no one wants to be with them. So, I mean, I would take that as a good sign. But again, if it's kind of become imprinted and they're not willing to put the work in, then, you know, I can't do that much. I equate it, you know, all that exercise equipment we have at our house, whether it's the treadmill or the Peloton or the weights or the whatever. Have you ever noticed how when we don't actually go use them, it has no impact on us except to collect dust?
I was going to say, how much laundry is hanging on your treadmill?
Yeah, I love the laundry when the treadmill, yes.
Exactly, right.
So,
what you're telling.
You know, somebody has to be active in the process to get value from it.
One of the things you try to do is to help people change from having a negative mindset to a positive mindset.
Yeah.
That's a big step.
Yes.
And if they can do that, that puts them obviously on the right road. So you work with that.
Yes.
That's not easy, I would assume. You tell me, is it?
Some people get it really quickly. It's like a aha. Again, other people have difficulty, and I think a lot of it is just habitual. They don't realize there's an alternative. But, you know, just very quickly, you will start with what we call a circumstance. And a circumstance is a fact. Everybody agrees it could be proven in court of law or whatever. An example I use sometimes is the World Trade Centers getting demolished. I mean,
yeah.
I think most of us alive saw the pictures of those towers coming down or new people in the buildings or what have you. So my personal thought, and I did know people there who did not come home, is that was one of the worst things I've ever seen. It was horrible. You know, I can't believe it happened. I mean, for me, it was a negative experience. Therefore, when I'm thinking that, my feelings end up being like anger, sadness, or, you know, grief. I mean, I go through a whole thing, and so my actions are in the stomp around for a while, or I may withdraw. And, you know, the result is I'm not really moving forward very much. Let's go back to the circumstance. The towers came down. If you were one of the terrorists who planned it, your reaction, your thought about it isn't, oh, that's the worst thing that ever happened. your thought's going to be, we pulled it off. We're showing America what we can do. And it's just the opposite. And then so their feeling about that is euphoria or joy or proud or whatever else, which is totally different than mine of grief and sadness and anger. You know, so you can see that people think different things about the same situation.
Yeah,
but our outcomes flow from what we think, you know, through our feelings and our actions.
Let me ask you a question, and, you know, as we come toward the end of this, give me an idea or an example of a success story, someone who came to you and that after working with you, and I assume, you know, this takes a couple of months, could be 6 months of working with clients, they changed and things got better. And you have one you could point out? No names.
I about three are running through my head. I'm trying to guess quickly. I think one of them that I'm very proud of is a gentleman younger who came to me who really does want to make $1 million and set the world on fire and whatever else. And he has really managed to control his thoughts and keep going every day. I have incredible admiration for, you know, he can, because part of what he's doing is sales. He can get 5 no's in a row. And a lot of people would just quit. You know, either it's a bad day or the moons aren't aligning or I'm a horrible salesperson or this product is horrible, or, you know, whatever. And he never lets that stuff get to him. He just stays, you know, I'm doing the right thing. I'm staying focused. My next contact is going to be the one who needs this. And he is, I think maybe by the end of this year, he will have reached his goal. And this has only been probably 18 months of working together. Not weekly, but over time. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And, you know, when I see things like that, too, in people with how the thought work and taking control and owning your own life and choosing to think, oh, well, that person didn't need the product right now, but the next one will. Just how it can keep you going.
That's a great example. That's a really good example.
Yeah.
Good for him. Yeah, good for him. And you're still working
for
him, right?
Yeah, I'm proud of him. Yes.
You should be. Yeah. I knew you had a great success story in you. I think that's wonderful. And it's just so neat talking to you because you have such a great positive attitude, and that's your goal, make people happy. Anne is going to be back with us again next week at this time, folks. We'll continue this discussion with Anne Reed. Her website, again, is Reed Coaching. Reed is spelled R-E-I-D, reedcoaching.com. If you go there, you can learn how to get in touch with Anne. You'll learn a little bit more about her philosophies of what to do to make you happy and increase your happiness. I mean, come on, what a great goal in life to have, make people happy. I'm so glad I talked to you. You know what? I feel happier now that I talked to you, Anne, okay?
Good. Thank you.
You're very, very welcome. And we appreciate your being with us. We'll see you next week, okay? Till then, take care.
All right, Doug. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Anne.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. That's it for today, everybody. I'm Doug Llewellyn. Hope you learned something. And wouldn't that be great if you could be happier? Think of what you could do if you were happier. That's a great goal to have. Good luck.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
Well, that's it for today, folks. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and we will see you next time. Till then, take care. Bye now.